Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up.
Zach Edey.
Yeah, this was announced over the weekend. Memphis Grizzlies center Zach Edey injured his left ankle earlier in the week and will need surgery, the team announced on June the 7th. Edey injured his ankle during an off-season training session. The Grizzlies did not offer a timeline, but the injury is expected to keep him out through the beginning of the 25-26 season. Ankle injuries have been a recurring issue for Edey. This all according to DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal. Since entering the NBA, he first injured his ankle while playing Summer League in July of 2024. His first major NBA injury was also to his left ankle, which resulted in him missing 12 games. According to the Grizzlies news release, Edey, quote, has excessive ligamentous laxity. I guess that means he has loose ligaments. I'm using some Latin there. And so laxity to me implies like unstableness with ligaments. With surgery required to, quote, address the laxity and restabilize his ankle. According to DeMichael, ankle surgery will be the latest obstacle in his career. He won't have the normal development arc of a second-year player. Edey planned on playing the Summer League, but that won't happen now. All right, so the first thing I wanted to ask Herd, have you heard of the preemptive ankle stabilizing? Because I think this was, so Mark immediately texted me on Friday, and Mark was going scorched earth of we won't see Edey till 2026. I mean, I'll say this. We have no timeline because no one can actually figure out exactly what surgery that he did or didn't have. Harrington speculated that it was someone who maybe mentioned maybe Taj Gibson had a similar type surgery. I mean, I think this is true. If you're going to miss the beginning of the season, if they know this right now, I don't, like, someone was asking, like, if you set the over under, it's like, I don't know, maybe I would put it at January 1. The one thing, though, that I can't quite figure out is, like, is this similar to what we've been seeing with the tightrope surgery where guys have been doing the, it's for the high ankle sprain. And the first people I remember doing it was Alabama football. And Alabama did it. And I used to first raise eyebrows like, Alabama's doing this, but the NFL's not doing it. That didn't make a lot of sense to me. Well, now it seems like the NFL's doing it too. And that's how guys are coming back from high ankle sprains, which used to be like 6 to 8 weeks. So they're now, it feels like coming back closer to under a month, maybe in that 3 to 4 range. And it is like largely stabilizing the ankle. And so, like, I just didn't know. It's like, is this kind of the new thing where it's like, all right, if you started to have a bunch of injuries, and even though, like, we're not going to fix the ligaments, we're doing, like, I mean, to me, it's like stabilizing surgery. Is that going to be the new thing? Have you heard of this? Like, is this something that's, like, commonplace?
It don't feel common. It has happened, and it seemed like it's happening with some of the bigger guys. But his situation is like they're highlighting it. So, like you're saying, it's like, from what I read on his situation, like, they're giving us information, but it's still leaving a lot of holes in it, right? You know, like you're reading.
They're telling us, his agent told us, like, I hope everybody's sitting down for this. It's for the best. And everyone is unanimous. Like, okay, well, can we get someone other than the agent, maybe? To, like, with all due respect to Bartlestein, like, can we get someone other than that? I mean, it seems obvious. Big man, lower extremity, foot, ankle, whatever. Like, there's going to be some concern. I guess this is, like, the weird thing is, he never missed a game at Purdue for injury. And granted, shorter season, wildly different stylistic play. I mean, they were a half court, slow down, whatnot. And then, like, just he gets to the Grizzlies and immediately has three injuries. It's like, okay. But this is kind of where I'm using it on Overreaction Monday. I think this changes the Grizzlies offseason. Because you're now at the spot where if you look at what they have in the front court right now, Brandon Clark is expected to start the season, but Brandon has always been a lower minutes guy. And now Edie's going to miss. And if you start to look at, okay, where can they maybe bank on their own guys? It's like they have more guys at the wing. They don't, like, I don't think they're going to go in and just say to a season, our offseason is Jay Huff and it's Brandon Clark. Like, I think this almost like pushes like to the forefront. They're probably addressing center like before maybe they address wing and the guards.
Yeah, now that you said that it might be the second half, you think they would be as crazy as, not crazy, but you have to look at the short and long-term goal. You think when they draft pick come up, if it's a really good big, there they would even consider it?
Well, so, I mean, they don't have a first, and so are you going to, what do they have? They have a pick in the 50s?
Oh, is that late?
Yeah. And, I mean, typically when they've had, now, granted, they could make, like, does that make them try to move up? Do they try now to get into the first round?
That would be something to think about.
But, I mean, that they're also in this weird spot where they're trying to renegotiate Jaren's deal and extend him. But for them to get to the number that Jaren would accept, they're basically killing all of their cap room. And so, like, I don't know. This was one of those ones where it wasn't fun to read about, like, on a Friday where you're just like, I was just sitting here watching TV. Did you have to drop this bomb on it? But then, like, when you start to talk it out even more, you're like, this is a pretty big deal. And even though it's like, it's not the end of his career, no one's saying that, but it's like, it is clearly going to impact their entire decision-making process this summer.
So they've got two draft picks in the second round, from what I can tell, number 48 and number 57. One of those is a Golden State second-round pick via a swap, and then 57 was from Houston, no protections. I first saw this whole situation same time as everyone else when it was released. I think it absolutely changes their thought process. I mean, they have to go out and get a big.
So they would.
I like the name that Parker threw out there. I would love to see Goga.
So the Athletic threw out Looney, which I feel
I
like
I could see him being on the block.
I feel like we do that every year. I don't know what is. So to me, it's like if you look at the mechanisms they could have, is they have the non-taxpayer room exception, which would be about $8 million. Mm-hmm. Does Looney? I mean, most people are thinking right MLE for him.
Let me look at what he's...
Looney don't make much, but that's also because he didn't took pay cuts to stay with the Warriors. With a champion. Come to Memphis, I think he might. Or have the Warriors dropped his value down to about $8 million because they were going times last year and this last year and a half where they haven't. Before somebody got hurt, he wasn't even playing a lot in
the starting. No, he was out and then...
So Looney's cap hit last season was $8 million.
Yeah.
So right
flat,
at the probably,
right at that room.
Because people got mad at him.
But that to Herd's point though is he'll take $8 million to play for the Warriors. Is he taking $8 million if he's going on the market?
Yeah, because is that but a 3 or 4 year deal?
I'm with you as well. Like, that was a 3 year contract from 26 to and up
it was
until
like
this
three
offseason.
For 24, and a lot of people got mad at him. I think even including his agent because
he took less than he could have.
Yeah, because Looney was up to make 12, 14
a season,
and somehow that Warrior, because I know a lot of pros be like, I want to win chips because they talk about it. Kind of what happened to, what's the big guy from Louisville that was dunking on everybody? He had a chance to go to Charlotte or something like for like 18 million, but stuck with LeBron and them, stuck with the Clippers or Lakers. He didn't get into a little trouble, but you know, the guy.
Where?
Big man. Dark skinned, dreads. Won a championship, I think, in Louisville. Rick Pitino guy, but he turned down a lot of money to stay with LeBron and them. And I feel like Looney, you know, people just yeah, that was a kind because that was the year they was paying. You remember they had just started back, paying that year. They was giving average people like him 14 and stuff like that.
So I wonder
Montrezl Harrell,
So the big thing that you brought up too, which I completely agree with. Has his value dropped so much just because he hasn't gotten the playing time, things like not just that, but this was a 3 year deal that started when he was 26. So that kind of early beginning of his prime, we haven't seen a lot of development, and he's a UFA right now at 29. If you're buying into his 30s, could his value drop, you know?
Yeah, I also wonder though, is
because he hasn't played. Like,
well, he hasn't taken money though. Now is this where
He goes to a bad situation.
Like he's willing to play on a bad team that's got to get to the salary cap.
Go to Washington for like 15, 16.
Man, Washington might give him 22. I'm just saying, they got who they going to pay?
The Athletic also cited Brook Lopez and Clint Capella.
Clint in the league?
Yeah.
Surprise.
Barely.
He played for Washington.
Capella last year,
wasn't
he on the? I thought he was on the Clippers for a while again.
No. I know he's not with a. No, he's not with a. He went back to Atlanta.
Yeah, no, he's been shocking. He has been with
Houston.
He's been with Atlanta since 2020.
I could have sworn he's older than leave, and he's on the LeBron and Chris Paul.
I thought he was from Houston when he got traded from Houston to Atlanta, and I was like, I don't think I've seen him anywhere.
I thought there was an LA stint in there.
Did he play much last year? What is he saying?
Last year,
I don't think so.
He has not played. Last year, he started 41 games, played in 55.
That ain't bad.
21.4 minutes. He gave him 8.9 points and 8.5 rebounds.
I got to apologize. Yes. I'm off on. Not knowing that he was still a valuable guy in the NBA, so that's my lack of knowledge right there.
Brook Lopez I kind of like because, I mean, Brook has always kind of been that, like, two-way big. Like, we know he can hit threes. He can defend the rim.
Who is Brook right now, Denver or something?
Still with Milwaukee. The only problem I have with Brook is we're on a consistent, steady decline.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, I think Father Time's tapping on the shoulder.
Yeah, but
did Robin retire?
I thought so.
Yeah, but I also think Brook is like a better Zach or who they want Zach to be, except he can move a little better.
Yeah, Robin,
he's also not 7'5", or you know.
No, but he's like 7 feet.
Yeah, Brook is up there, not.
So Robin was traded to the Kings in 2023 and then waived, or he was traded in February of 2024. So as far as I know, he's out of the league. He has not played since he was on the Bucks in 2023.
Gotcha.
Yeah, 24
so
sound like.
Well, I mean, I saw also someone threw out bring back Steven Adams.
I think he's a free agent. Isn't he a UFA?
Yeah, I don't know how the team would feel about that. I think the team had some bad blood. They did not think that he handled the knee the way that they would like. So I don't know. Now, granted, I don't know what the – like. That's kind of the other thing. It's like, I feel like when you're shopping for bigs at this level, like, beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah.
Like, you're...
Yeah. What? I'm looking at UFAs are out there just because that's what they can realistically get without having to give up capital. Like, the guy that Parker brought up, Goga, I can't even pronounce his last name, is that big Georgian guy from Orlando, but he's under contract. You'd have to trade for him. I don't know if they would give up a 25, 26-year-old big who, albeit a bit streaky, has played some valuable minutes for them last year.
Can I interest Orlando in a John Conchar?
I don't think Jitty would interest them that much.
I'm sure Utah got enough bigs. Look at
well,
Utah.
So I mean, they're supposedly now shopping. Well, supposedly they're shopping Markkanen.
Yeah, but I think Utah got some other.
So like, you got Kessler,
Walker Kessler.
I would take Walker.
John Collins.
John
will
Collins.
Be
a, he played for me. So
he'll
I was
be a free agent.
John
he'll
Collins.
Be a free agent.
But he might want to look.
Well, I would say, what was Collins' last deal?
Oh, player
last
option.
Deal was like 100 million.
Player option with the team at 26.5 mil.
Yeah.
So you can go ahead and remove John Collins from the options there.
He was also really good for them when he was playing, not hurt last year, so he's going to want big money. He was solid.
So that's why he got traded from Atlanta, because he was trying to get a max. They gave him one, but then it was like they felt he was playing good ball. He's one of them weird situations where he's really not a max player, but people
he's still
around
really
his stuff
solid.
Is – he's still kind of young or asking for it.
Well, like this whole conversation, though, is where I think the Grizzlies over the next 12 to 24 months get really interesting, because we are now hitting this point, and we've talked about it on the show, how everyone is now a cap expert, and we're all now just like we've become accountants. But we are getting to this point in which guys that are super max eligible, like, how many guys realistically should get $60 million? It's like
two, three.
Yeah.
It's like LeBron, peak LeBron, like it's like this is always true. Peak LeBron was always underpaid. Like there was no amount of money that like, but because of the cap. But now you're running into this spot where the Grizzlies are in, you know, you're gonna have to keep paying Jaren more. You've got Ja and Dez on their deals. Like, three guys are commanding such a high percentage of the cap. Like, does this work? Like, I think we were so conditioned to get three guys, build around them, and then even if you're kind of filling in cheap around them, it still works. And I think what we've realized since the last CBA's gone in is, man, the teams that are, like, focused and dependent on just a couple of big money guys, they don't have the depth. And like, if you look at like what has won the last, like Boston was the deepest team. Now they had an unfair advantage. They had the owner that was just willing to say, like, I'll pay whatever. And, but at the same time, like it seems like they may not do it anymore. Like Denver's run into the problem. And obviously Denver's biggest problem was Porter was eligible for money right after the title. And so then you wind up in the situation where Porter's got this big money deal and he's not worth it. And, but I mean, I think that's kind of the whole point that I think is what's becoming way more fascinating is like, we've mentioned a lot of players like, yeah, I like that guy, but now everything becomes like, but at what price?
Yeah. Like, I love Lauri Markkanen. I think he's a very, very good ball player. He's making $46 million a season. I don't know many teams that one have the capability to trade for that type of contract, or two, want to pay a player like him that much money.
Well, it's where, I don't want to relitigate it, but like, I am interested to see if we've been in this era. I think DeMichael's stat was, of the 13 players that were Supermax eligible, 12 of them got the Supermax. The only one that didn't was Gobert, but they did renegotiate. They gave him like a bunch of money up front, but he did not take a Super. Like, I do wonder if Dallas starts to become like, hey, man, we're fine paying, like, some guys Supermax, but we don't want to pay Luka. And I think that was stupid, but, like, I am curious to see, like, is that going to be a thought process? I would still argue that's not applicable, because if you really were solely making the decision of we don't want to pay Luka,
You would have shopped him.
Like, you do what all the baseball teams do. Like, whenever eventually the cheap franchise, like, whenever the Pirates eventually decide to sell Paul Skeens, like that, come on down. Like, we're taking bring your best offer and make sure it is very full.
Yeah, you put the asset on the market. Instead, with Luka, it was like this weird backdoor type deal that didn't make
crazy.
A lot of sense.
When you say backdoor, like somebody's selling me a TV in the back. Oh, we got to hurry up, do this.
No, it definitely felt like definitely felt like the old parking lot cell phone.
Yeah, like
we got a great deal for you.
Now I will say this, even though he got killed for it, if you knew you was letting Luka go, and I know this could be cowardly and you don't want to stay in heat, if that gets out there, I think this thing could have ended even worse because the fans and social media would have went, you think it was crazy seeing how many days it took, whether it was 4 days, 3 weeks, four, the fans would have been showing up crazy. They still showed up crazy, but they had to respect AD. They had to, it would have been, they probably would have tried to not come to a game and boycott. It would have got crazy, y'all. Luka Doncic is up. I would have made, he said he trusted the Lakers, got their business together. You call any other GM, that would have leaked very quickly. Think about it. In 2025 or 24, Luka Doncic's trade was not out there. That was one of the biggest zip lips, backdoor things. So you got to give them that. I still would have, I'm not going to lie to you, I would have made this call to Memphis, Tennessee. What's up with Ja Morant? I would have made a few other, it wouldn't have just stopped. Now, as soon as it leaked, I would have traded the best person. If I heard any little sports site, it could have been my Twitter, and I ain't got number three. They're looking at, hey, let's make this deal ASAP. But I would have made more than just the Lakers-only call. But it would have been tough trying to get the most from Luka, younger 20s in his prime. I think it would have been pandemonium. It would have been.
No, I agree with you, but like that's kind of where this is why what I've always found weird about the story is that usually, as time goes on, you start to get a little bit more clarity. I'm just as confused as I was when they did it in the first place. Because on the one hand, he is saying we want to keep it quiet because if it does leak out, exactly what you're saying. But then on the other hand, he's like, I was caught off guard by how much Luka mattered to the fans. And it's like, well, that I'm struggling to square that because if you're worried, admittedly, that if it gets out, that public perception will kill the deal. I guess what you could say is he was worried about the everyone on the league saying like this was such a bad deal, whatnot. But like that's kind of where I struggle is like it doesn't. You see what I'm saying? Like those two things don't add up to me. Like I think he was worried about if it gets out, but it still makes no sense to me that even if Rob Pelinka, who clearly wants Luka, goes, listen, don't call Boston, don't call Milwaukee. Like, I would have pat him on the back and be like, I'm gonna call.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna at least see.
Unless it's one of them guys that you know that have loose lips. Cause I have some people I love and some partners.
No, there's.
I can't even tell them it's a surprise party. They're going to be surprised with the person that we're throwing. When we walk in and say, hey, they're going to be surprised too. Cause I know if we do it before there, it's a chance.
No, and to your point, I also wonder where if this is. Like, I don't think it's all that shocking. I'm not even a conspiracy guy. I really don't think the league orchestrated this.
No.
I really don't.
I think that was Nico and Pelinka.
But what I do think happened is I don't think Nico, having been from the Nike side, like I don't think it's a coincidence that who he went and made the deal with is the agent of his biggest prospect and the guy that he had done a lot of business with.
Yeah. With another Nike guy,
correct.
Anthony Davis, that he has done a lot of business with.
Correct. Yep. And so I do wonder, because this has always been my thing with Kleiman is, if you look at where Kleiman's biggest whiffs are, it's making trades. And I actually think it makes sense because, A, I think making trades is hard.
Yeah.
Because how many times are there really two teams that have aligned interests and you want to make a deal with them? Like, it's very rare. But on top of that, I don't think he has a ton of relationships throughout the league. And, like, I think part of how you get a lot of these deals done is it's done like a lot of business. You do business with people you know, people you like. All right, we'll make it happen. And I don't think Kleiman has a lot of that. That's why I'm still kind of convinced that as time goes on, he's going to get better at it because he's just making more relationships. But like part of the reason why Pat Riley, I think, made deals is Pat Riley knew everybody. And everybody could somewhat do business with him. But, like, that's kind of where I just always struggle on the Luka one. It's like, you want to keep it quiet, but your solution is, let me go get the 31-year-old big that the number one knock on him is. If your biggest problem with Luka is, I think he's out of shape, and I don't think he's going to stay healthy, and your solution is, let me go get 31-year-old Anthony Davis, that's kind of where I struggle. It has nothing to do with, like, I'm not someone that's, like, sitting here going, like, Anthony Davis sucks. Like, I think those people are not watching basketball.
Yeah. When AD, he's awesome.
When AD
he's
is healthy good. And he's playing, he is phenomenal. But that's a big if. And so, like, that's just kind of where I always, like, struggle on this. Is like, what? If you're going to make that decision, it still does not make any sense to me why you wouldn't have at least, even through back channels, like, okay, Nico's got to know how many agents in this game. And while there are some agents, to your point, that you can't tell them when the party is because they're going to ruin it, there are some agents that you can talk to and you know, hey, it's staying between us.
Yeah, it's a fear. But y'all want me to tell you, I'm not a conspiracy guy either, but I actually think Nico got a raise. I'm going to keep it real with y'all. It's no way he couldn't... Some people didn't have to sign off on him trade. How they trying?
Oh, I think I definitely think
there's no way they let this new GM,
new owner syndrome, new owner syndrome. Think new owners are
somebody very important, if not two people, had to sign up. And he is the fall guy. And they let him know you got to remain it, and we go give you a bonus too. But
and you're gonna get a new deal.
Listen, when they dropped in one player, it is 28 people in a room clapping. You think the most important people, and they were going to let this man trade a top five player in the league, and everybody's running like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, we just gave it to him. No, guys, that ain't how America works right now.
It's why I also think we haven't gotten any more clarity. Because in the end, I don't know if it's – I'm not quite ready to buy in on the whole – because they couldn't get the gambling license, or they couldn't get legalized gambling in Texas, and the Texas legislature only meets once every 2 years for 6 months. Because they couldn't do that, they're trying to tank the team so they can move it to Vegas. It's the classic where I'll take your literature, I'll consider it, but it's like that feels like quite the leap. But I do think
that's a big stretch.
That sounds like it's pretty stretchy.
Yeah.
Well, so the family that now owns the Mavericks, Sams, they're the people that built the Venetian. They own the same. Like, so the whole plan was when they bought it from Cuban, they wanted to build a Venetian Dallas, and the centerpiece would be the arena. That's the idea. The one that's never made any sense to me, though, and this is where I always keep coming back to, is like Mark Cuban was like the ultimate NBA cheerleader, and he's like on record of like, I'll never sell. And then all of a sudden he did sell the team. That never made any sense to me. And we never, like, he's given reasons, and every time, like, those reasons kind of contradict themselves. And so it's like, I can't tell if, like, at the end he's like, all right, I got this offer, I'm going to be able to, like, I don't know what the franchises are going to keep this value, like, I'll make the deal now, which would at least, like, make some sense to me. But, like, he's never really said that. And then there was the thought that, well, when he sold, they were announcing he was going to remain president and that he was going to still be, like, a decision maker, which also never made any sense to me. But the NBA took that policy out, like, well before the sale even got announced. Like, that was known, like, to them. Maybe not, it wasn't publicly known, but, like, that was known amongst the people that were making the deal. But, no, I'm with you. I think part of the reason why none of it really makes all that sense is because that much sense is because I think a family that owns the team, which clearly are not basketball people, they made the decision, we're getting rid of it. Yeah. And maybe that comes from the, we're not paying this guy $60 million.
Now, and I agree more with that than even the other stretch you just said a family that's that rich have done a lot more business deals. You don't think they knew, I even know this, and I'm not a gambler, before they bought the team, that all my people in Dallas tell me how they drive up to Oklahoma to go to the casino. They knew before they bought the team that the Texas governor or whoever it is, they wasn't changing the law on.
The only thing I would say in response to that is, remember how we talked about earlier, like, there are super rich people who are like, I'll just do something because I'll make it.
Oh, God.
So they spent a ton of money, tens of millions of dollars, trying to buy lobbyists to get the legislation through. And it wasn't like it seemed to me, if I recall correctly, it wasn't that it got voted down, it got tabled. But when it gets tabled, that means it's 2 years. Like, they got through the session, they're like, we're not voting on this. And so we'll see again in 2 years. The only thing you could tell me is they might have had bad information. They thought, like, well, we'll just do what we always do. We'll pay the lobbyists, we'll get the legislation, and like, that's what's happened. And then they're caught off guard. But I'm with you, man. Like, if you got decent advice, I think most people would tell you, like, man, I don't know if this Texas thing is going to happen.
No, for sure. And as the people that's making that much, you would think that. Now, this is where I think the NBA did jump in it, y'all. I don't think they got in the sea. I don't think that. But them getting the number one pick, I think they are trying to save faith with that, because Dallas Mavericks get Cooper. Now, Nico went from being the biggest and looking like the smartest guy in the world, because although Cooper Flagg is not Luka Doncic, him coming to already set, I'm one of the guys who believe in Cooper Flags. I'm a Cooper Flags guy. You let this man play with Kyrie Irving, his Anthony Davis, and what's the other big guy named Lively in them?
Derek Lively.
PJ Washington, them. When he really supposed to be playing with the Wizards, or he's supposed to be playing with who the team?
Charlotte.
Now imagine although he's been good, playing with teams like that has hurting some people growing pain so much they never became the player that they can become.
That losing early on, yeah.
Well, I mean, on top of that, it's like whether or not it's orchestrated, can we all sit there and go, it's wildly unsatisfying that team trades Luka Doncic and they have to wait like 4 months, and by the way, you get the number one pick, here you go.
What you mean unsatisfying?
Like, if you're someone, it's like, it really is tough for me to buy into, knowing how the lottery works, where they bring in bring in all the people and they do it in front of people. Now they're locked up and they can't tweet, they can't, but like, they do it in front of people. My contention has always been, I understand the math suggests you don't have to put more ping pong balls in there like the way they do, but it's like, when you have the last two situations where it's like the last two teams that have gotten the number one pick, like, should occur basically like once out of every 50 years, and then you have it in back-to-back years, like, we can all acknowledge, like, math says it's possible, but like, it doesn't sit right.
Yeah, and I'm one of those guys, like, no conspiracy. I think most of the stuff the NBA do is right. But the more I have heard about because someone told me a few years ago, like, the NBA is not going to let Pop and the Spurs sit down too long. They were saying that they thought that this before this even happened, they were getting Wimby. This was a talk, like, this is where they want him. They think this is before the health problems, right?
Yep.
They were saying this is who they think. They thought the city was well for him with it being really diverse. LeBron actually did an interview. I know y'all done seen it years ago. Like, the year I come out, Cavaliers getting the number one pick.
I never forget.
You know what I mean?
It was literally, don't forget, like, granted, they'd already done the lottery, but the Grizzlies, because of the Otis Thorpe trade, the Grizzlies only had the number one pick protected. And the Grizzlies were down to the Cavs and the Grizzlies. So the Grizzlies are either getting LeBron or they're getting nothing. Like, they would have gotten Carmelo. But it was because of the trade, it was literally LeBron or nothing. And to your point, like, he winds up in Cleveland, 45 minutes from Akron.
So we were supposed to have that Pistons pick?
Yes, and they would not have drafted Darko.
Yeah, Pistons didn't even need him.
They would have. I mean, they literally he was called the Human Victory Cigar that year. Remember, like, he made it into Game 5 of the NBA playoffs, and, like, here comes the victory cigar.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
But, like, the Grizzlies would have taken Carmelo. Because that's who, like, Jerry West was fixated on. Because, like...
That makes sense.
We would have finally had, before Ja, a sense. Real...
A little different.
Star.
Uh-huh.
With Carmelo Anthony here. That would have been...
A little different.
That might have hurt it, Rudy, the love we had for Rudy Gay and certain people. Because when Melo came, we're like... Now we got a real star right here now.
little different. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to get Coach's thoughts on what we might see develop out of the house settlement we had. So we got revenue sharing, how that could impact some of the stuff we're going to see coming up here in the next few weeks. Let's talk about it with him next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
ESPN. All right, heard the big college sports news on Friday, as every college person would tell us, particularly the schools. Groundbreaking settlement with the house settlement, and that means that now officially there is revenue sharing amongst the players from these schools' earned money. But in addition, there is also the newly formed College Sports Commission. There was also a news conference from that included the commissioners of the ACC, the Big 12, the Big 10, the Pac-12, what are they doing there, and the SEC. It was established in the wake of Friday's approval of the House settlement. The CSC will oversee the implementation and enforcement of settlement terms, shifting much of the responsibility away from the NCAA. Brian Seely, the former head of investigations for Major League Baseball, has been announced as the new CEO and will report to a board compromised of the Power Conference commissioners. This is where I want your thoughts. The CSC has been tasked with oversight of the settlement's new revenue sharing pool, which will be capped at roughly $20.5 million per school in the first year, as well as third-party NIL deals via the new NIL Go clearinghouse. Yes, it's literally named NIL Go, like Pokemon Go, like a video game, like a mobile game. NIL Go, which will evaluate any third-party NIL payments worth at least $600, is expected to be up and running this week and will determine whether those deals represent a valid business purpose and fall within an approved range of compensation. Those that don't fit the criteria will be flagged and forced to be adjusted or taken to arbitration. The aim is to stamp out the unchecked, quote, pay-for-play, end quote, deals popularized by NIL collectives. So my working theory is that, A, I mean, this is the beginning. Like, what they actually announced on Friday was a settlement of a lawsuit that instead of paying the upwards of $20 to $30 billion in back pay, they settled for $2.8 billion. And then they also announced, like, we're going to pay players directly. Cool. But really what they actually did was settle a lawsuit. And now they're largely like looking to Congress, please give us laws that make us make like legitimize. We did this, like meet us halfway. Whether or not that actually gets done, I have no idea. But what I think the real impact, at least in the short term, because I don't think you can actually truly like predict what's going to happen next, because I think the only thing you can safely say it's going to happen next is at some point more legislation or more litigation. But I think with last year, everybody trying to get the deals done before the settlement went through, because those deals that got done before the settlement was approved were grandfathered in. So whatever you, who's our boy, the BYU kid?
AJ.
AJ got what, $7 million? That's or something like that. You get that deal done because if AJ's deal has to go through NIL Go, despite AJ being a great player with some name recognition, most people believe like that would get flagged. All right, so everybody was basically trying to spend a bunch of money really quickly, and that drove the prices through the roof. Now that you're going to have essentially a review process, my instinct is in the short term, this year of prices for players, that's going to be the high. Now, does it ever get back? Like, I don't know, but I do think the initial reaction is next year the prices are coming down a little bit.
No, and I think you did even a better job explaining it, because I don't think like when most things come out, I think people think it's one thing that is not, or you know, it's always like some smoke and mirrors with, unfortunately, everything in life or most things in life that you have to. And this seemed like one too, because from the players and the agents, they think that now they about the it's gonna be better. I'm just telling you, in this sure. side of the community, they thinking it's gonna be crazy, because in their head, they're thinking like, especially if you go to SEC school, now they did cap it at 20 something, but in their head, they're looking at it like, first of all, ain't some football teams already was getting that, like the Ohio State and stuff, or is that a room of 20 or out the big ones are not that high?
No, I mean, there was the reports are Ohio State's roster was 20 million. The key difference would be, though, was largely funded by NIL. So okay. Where I think the guys that you're talking about, where they think, oh, it's going to get better, is they're thinking, well, now on top of all the NIL money, we're now getting the money directly from the school.
That's how I wonder.
But to your, I think a huge part of the reason why they're needing to pay directly from the school is the people that they've been hitting up for the NIL collectives and all that money. Like, these people are sick of paying for everything,
yeah.
And there's donor fatigue. And so I think what everybody's thinking is that, oh, this is great. We're just going to have all that money and this money. And I don't think that's how it's going to work. I think to a certain degree, there will be some schools that have that. But this idea that every, yeah. And that's the other thing. All these schools aren't going to be offering $20 million.
See, the Power Five, I think they're going to have to stick with a little NIL for football. I'm going to tell you why, because I'm just give you a simple number of $20 million. The way they think is going to go, like, 15, like, for football. Well, no, they – because even the best basketball programs are getting, like, 7-8, right?
So, this is where, do you believe the Big East? So the Big East is claiming because all those schools don't play big-time football, they're going to be able to spend more of their money because it's only – like, they can prioritize basketball. But to your point, if it's $20.5 million, all right, most of these schools are basically saying somewhere around $15 million of that $20 million is going to football. Then, like
– what you mean, 85, right? I mean, you mean, my bad. I thought you mean 15%.
No, 15 okay, million.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
15 million, or some are saying like 13 to 15 million, and then...
4 to 6.
Yeah.
Boat men.
Correct, and then a million and a half to everything else.
Yeah, but I feel like the numbers that I'm hearing, the Power Fives are going to still need some donations because I'm hearing...
Oh, so think of it now in these terms. Whatever you pay... the player from the revenue sharing, that is not reviewed. Yeah. What gets reviewed is the second, we've now set up two pools of money. So you've got the revenue sharing money, which is capped at 20.5 for now, till that gets sued. And then the NIL money, the difference is the money that you're giving from the revenue sharing doesn't get reviewed, but now the money that you're giving from the collectives and from the name, image, and likeness, those all get reviewed, to which I think we're now just setting up the, we're trying to bring back under the table.
Yeah, because I think a Power Four school, the ideal number would be between 28 and 35. The reason I say, because, okay, you take Ohio State or
yeah,
an SEC school, they're going to want to do 15 to 20 million by themselves on just football.
Yes.
Like the top 10 football schools in America are over 15 million for whatever, because there's a lot of
yeah,
rosters. Then the better basketball teams are between, if you're not getting too crazy, but just between 7 and 10.
Yeah.
The stuff you're hearing about 14, but I'm going to say at least 8. Let's just say 8 to be fair. 7 to 8 to
yeah,
be fair. You're already at like 25 if I'm doing my
yes,
numbers right.
Yes.
And then now I do think everybody else is only going to get 1.5. And all the other sports put together. But I think you just got too many Power Five schools that the basketball team is getting close to 10 and the football team is getting close to 20. And they're going to have to, I think, up that at least 5 to 10 million.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really struggling how this is going to hold up, like legally, because this wasn't bargained. And you're basically saying, like, we're giving the players 22%. Well, when you look at the pro leagues, it doesn't always come down to this, but it's pretty darn close to 50% revenue for the owners and the teams and the league, and 50% revenue for the players. Like, it fluctuates by a percentage point here and there, depending on the leagues. Well, now, like, you're trying to say, like, we're capping what we give the players at 22%. How is that going to pass any type of antitrust, because you're setting prices?
It won't. And for reference, this is from the Detroit Free Press. Did you guys see the article that came out about the estimated percentages of the funds that were put out by the Michigan Athletic Department?
So what is it, 80?
It was for football to receive 70 to 75% of the funds, men's basketball to get 15 to 20%, and then the remaining 5 to 15% would be then split amongst the rest of the sports, with the top two in that small pecking order being women's ball and ice hockey. So we're talking the non-revenue sports, you know, like our track field,
this
et cetera, et cetera, getting...
Everyone that was like on the college side, the college's side, was like moonwalking on Friday, and I'm like, you guys are really overselling this. Like, what actually got decided? Like, yeah, okay, we have like a starting point, but I don't think they really solved anything. I mean, to me, it seems like what they've done is like, hey, they came up with a settlement, and now they're like, we're going to look to Congress to finish the rest. And it's like, good luck, because this wasn't bargained. But I think what this really brought back, I think the under-the-table deals are good.
Yeah, until they extend it.
Yeah, exactly.
But like me and you just said, because I know billionaires don't have any access to their money. I know them. But I do know with business.
You can't just take out a million cash.
That's like, what I'm saying, because it's big money that got to go in. These ain't back to the 50 and 150,000 days, which is even hard to take out
yes,
in time. But when you start saying the millions, like you say, they're going to have to like hit some companies up to tell like this company, oh, give him this NIL deal and we
yes,
gonna, I mean, I'm not trying to tell people how to cheat either here. I'm just thinking.
Well, no, I mean, like, I do think you're right in the sense of like the deals that are going to get proved the easiest are like big time corporate deals. Like, when if FedEx is giving a guy $100,000, like, that's going to be a lot easier to get approved. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Coach, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. I got to go to Arena Sabalenka, who lost to Coco Gauff on Saturday after playing, quote, the worst tennis I've played in the last I don't know how many months. It's a joke. Coco, congrats in these tough conditions. You were the better player than me. Congrats on the 2 weeks. All right. She kept going, though. Conditions were terrible, and she was simply better in these conditions than me. I think it's the worst final that I've ever played. She then continued after the match in her post-game press conference and added that Iga Swiatek, who she beat in the semifinal, I think she would go out today and she would get the win. As in, if Iga would have played Coco, she would have won. To which Coco then responded, I mean, I don't agree with that. I'm sitting here. Last time I played her, no shade to Iga or anything, but I played her and I won in straight sets. So, Sabalenka, don't tell the story, tell your story. That was good. That was bananas to watch the right afterwards. Like, because they give the loser the mic first, which, not great, but, like, you get it, because, like, hey, we're awarding the runner-up first, and then we're going to let the champion speak, but it's like, that's one of those situations where, like, do not give the mic to the loser first, because that did not go well. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. My thanks to Munns for joining as well. For George, for Coach, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.